This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com. Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
You know, in the old days, we used to get promotional emails for porn sites and things like that. Now, maybe Randall doesn't see this from Canada. Invariably, I see promotions for food delivery services like DoorDash and Postmates and Uber Eats. And they each will give me either free delivery. I have a $30 coupon from Uber Eats. So if I ever order for delivery, rather than have to go to the restaurant and endanger my life because half the people aren't wearing masks, then I can save. But then the trick is that in addition to the cost of the food, which is often higher for delivery services, because they have to pay a part of it to the delivery service, you then have to pay a delivery charge. So the $30 savings may not be much of a savings. So David Halperin, being that you live in North Carolina, do you have food delivered to you? Do you just cook or what?
No, we go out and shop and cook.
Do you like bagels?
I love bagels.
So does Gene. He's got like this really great bagel place down there. And every time he talks about it, it makes him want to go there and try it.
Do you get really good bagels where you are in North Carolina, David?
Yeah, we've got Brugger's and they do a really good job. But since the pandemic started, I've been shy about going in there. And I just pick up, I think it's Thomas Bagels when I do the grocery shopping.
Thomas has really good cinnamon raisin bagels. A lot of the bagels, cinnamon raisin that you get from the delis, they don't include enough raisins. Also, Sara Lee is very good. Why are we doing this? They're not paying for advertising.
Because bagels vaguely resemble UFOs, right?
Okay,
they have the donut-shaped bagel, which is connected with certain religions, right? Or is that a stereotype? I'm not sure. You know, and so somewhere along the way, the bagel became the symbol for UFOs, and now, you know, it's just all some sort of collective consciousness realization of our need to survive and eat food.
Well, let's hope this pandemic, this siege, will be over before too much longer.
Well, the problem, of course, is we can have the argument, the debate, but there are people who don't believe it exists. It's fake news. It never happened. But, you know, we don't want to get into that. Let's instead look at the topic that we brought you on for, because it is related to your blogs. There's always something fascinating in your blogs, David Halperin, and that is UFOs in the Bible. The obvious connection here is the possibility that extraterrestrials visited us during those times. Why are we so fascinated with that? Does it impact our religious conceptions or what?
Well, on the one hand, it would support our religious ideas in that it shows that the Bible was true after all. It's just that we have to interpret it scientifically rather than metaphysically. But on the other hand, it completely undercuts them. Because if God drives a flying saucer, as one of the ancient astronauts theorists put it, then God is no longer God.
That is a really good point, and also a really good book that you alluded to there. I'm not sure if we're talking about the same one by R. L. Dione. God Drives a Flying Saucer is the title. An excellent little book, actually.
I have to admit, I have not read that one.
Well, that is just so synchronistic, and we were talking about that on our recent 15th anniversary episode with Timothy Green Beckley, how these synchronicities come up. And I thought, you know, today we're having David Halperin on, and I know we're talking about religion. I've got to find that book, God Drives a Flying Saucer, and then you, never even having heard of the book, you know, say the title right on the first part of the show. I think that's just absolutely excellent.
I knew of the book. I have.
Oh, okay. Ah, all right then. Well, then, so much for synchronicities. All in our minds. Are UFOs all in our mind?
I think so. I think they're stimulated by things that we see outside us. Goodyear blimps, the planet Venus, whatever. But I think that the UFO proper, that which gives it its unidentified quality, comes from within us. Where I would demur would be if someone were to say to me, it's only in our minds. I think in our minds is something vast. And if the UFO is a visitor from our own inner space, then that is something that has to be paid attention to.
Well, obviously the things that we worry about with a theory like that is a sighting that includes a radar aspect, a simultaneous yes. radar visual sighting, such yes. as the ones being reported by the Navy that have gotten so much publicity, or the 1952, or possible trace evidence. How can something that's in our minds, whatever the cause, leave trace evidence?
Yeah, that is a problem. And a further problem is where more than one person sees it. And that, to me, is the most intriguing problem, because it goes beyond UFOs. Now, I don't know how to answer the radar arguments. I think we would have to recognize that there, although we focus on the cases where radar and visual observations reinforce each other, there are cases where people see things that don't appear on radar, where radar blips occur and nobody sees anything there. So I would at least consider the possibility that the intersection of the two is coincidence. The trace cases, the one that baffles me most is Socorro. And I really have no good answer for that.
Then are we saying there is the existence here of two separate phenomenons? We have the internal phenomenon, the collective unconscious, but then possibly, just possibly, we have another cause for the physical UFOs that do leave some evidence of their physicality, in terms of being photographed, in terms of being seen on radar, etc.
That is certainly a possibility. It's not one that I care to spend time with. That I would prefer to say that simply that there are some loose ends. That not every mystery is solved, because not every clue survives. And I think if we look back over the past 70-odd years of ufology, we will find very few of those genuinely puzzling cases, whether trace or whether radar. The multiple witness cases, I think, are more common and, for me, more intriguing. So, I mean, when I was a teenager, as Gene, you and I both were many, many years ago.
Many thousands of years ago. This is not just 5 decades or 5.5 decades now. It is like 4,000 years ago, just to be explicit and accurate. We're kidding. Anyway, we're talking about UFOs, UFOs in the Bible, lots of other subjects with an old dear friend of mine, David Halperin. We crossed paths back when we were teenagers. And we've been in touch on and off over the years since then. And as our listeners know, our episode last week was the 15th anniversary episode, where we had Tim Beckley and Jerome Clark, and Alan Greenfield will be on soon. And when I add David, Alan, Tim, and Jerry, it's people I've known for over 200 years. And it seems like only yesterday.
This is really memory lane.
More to come with Gene Randall and David. You're in
the Paracast.
Hey, listeners. I want you to have the entire Paracast experience. So I'd like to tell you about After the Paracast. After the Paracast is an exclusive feature for subscribers to the Paracast Plus. With After the Paracast, you never know what's going to happen next. After the Paracast features color commentary, special interviews, and further conversations with Paracast guests. With Paracast Plus, you can download a very special enhanced version of the Paracast also. We do offer exclusive music, videos, and more features are coming. To get more info about subscribing, please visit theparacast.plus. Once again, theparacast.plus. Prices are just $1.50 a week, less than a cup of coffee at your local convenience store. Check out theparacast.plus to learn more about Paracast Plus.
The following is a paid announcement. The advertiser was paid a marketing fee for a digital campaign. Please make sure to review our disclaimer on our report page.
The time is now to capitalize on the electronic health data security in the American market. Electronic health data security is an industry that could potentially grow to around $25.5 billion a year. Global big data in healthcare was a $14 billion market in 2018 and could potentially grow at a combined annual growth rate of 20% to reach $42.8 billion over the next 4 years. Find out which companies are leading the charge now when you text the word NOW to 48542 for your free research from Avid Health Sector Insights. We've identified an undervalued company that could be positioned to benefit from the electronic health security boom in the U.S. markets. Get this red-hot intelligence delivered directly to your mobile device so you can make decisions as market conditions change. Get your report now when you text NOW to 48542. Text the word NOW to 48542 for your free research from Health Sector Insights. Text the word NOW to 48542.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamel Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamGaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamGaday.com with Longevity. TeamGaday.com.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the Mineral Doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422. Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the Mineral Doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
Now, some people suggest here that the UFO phenomenon, at least the stuff that leaves some kind of physical indication that it's real, left us a long time ago. And therefore, any sightings since then have other causes, possibly the internal cause that you speak about, David Halperin. So, Is that really part of it? That, yeah, there was a real UFO phenomenon at one time, but it's long ago, far away, and it's not really so much worth of our attention anymore.
I mean, it's certainly a thinkable position. It's not one that I would hold, though. I would keep on harping on the idea that not every mystery, not every problem can be solved. I don't know what happened in Socorro in April of 1964, but consider how very rare a case like Socorro is over the 73-year history of UFOs. Now, when in those prehistoric times when we were young ufologists, I would have said that if there is a real, that a real core to the phenomenon, a real core to all these sightings, even if it's a tiny percentage of them, proves that there's something real. Now I'm much more inclined to ask why, if we're being visited by beings from outer space or whatever, are those incidents so infrequent? And they were infrequent back then.
Wouldn't that seem more logical, though, that for being visited by extraterrestrials, they wouldn't be all over the place? They would pick and choose their surveillance of this planet. They wouldn't just send out 10,000 spaceships.
What do you mean by picking and choosing? You mean that they would...
I mean that they're not every place when they do engage in surveillance where they might be seen. They do it sparingly. It's not there's 10,000 sightings a year.
And you don't think that in 73 years we would have more than this sprinkling of puzzling incidents?
Honestly, I don't know. Honestly, I have no idea. We can have all sorts of theories. Now, Randall is suggesting that many of the UFOs we see, we're just seeing something that conceals the real appearance of this phenomenon for our benefit or because we can't see it any other way.
When I talk about that, what I'm usually talking about is that we're still dealing with technology and something objectively real that uses something called active camouflage, which would allow it to take whatever shape it wants in terms of a visual appearance. So we may not know exactly what it looks like at all. And if we combine that with the idea that they're observing our planet for the sake of some sort of experimentation, particularly to test our psychology and our psyche to see how we react to these various kinds of stimuli, then that could explain a lot. But this is completely different than what you're talking about, David. And I know that. So I don't think that you rule out that there's a possibility that that might be the case. But it is very different from what you and I have talked about on past episodes and your concept of what is going on when people have the experience of seeing a UFO or having the UFO experience, abductions, and so on.
Yes, for me, the essential question is the human question. What does the UFO mean to those who see it, to those who believe in it, to those who mock it and debunk it?
Exactly. Now, earlier, you know, I like to kid around a little bit, and you know, people who have heard the show and know me know that, you know, that's what I do. But if we wanted to dive in a little bit deeper right away and return to a couple of the things we talked about just a little bit earlier, this idea that God drives a flying saucer. Now, on your website at davidhalperin.net, you have a piece called UFO and the Bible, Real, Ancient Aliens, Evangelical Ufology. Now, there's a lot in that title alone.
Yeah.
But in it, you say, if God drives a flying saucer, as the title of the 1969 book cited by Hammer and Swartz has it, then to all intents and purposes, God has ceased to be God. Now, this is a pretty deep question then, and one that there's a lot of contention about. What exactly do we mean by God then in this case?
I think we mean an entity that totally transcends the universe that is governed by scientific law.
Okay, that would seem to sort of be self-contradictory. If God created the universe, then he would have created the scientific laws which govern it, in which case, being the source of the science that governs the laws, right? I mean, I don't think we can have it both ways there, right?
Yeah. I mean, I think of what Spinoza somewhere remarked, that if we believe in miracles, we're in danger of falling into atheism. Because miracles undermine the faith in the absolute lawfulness of the cosmos, which is, for Spinoza, the essential proof of God. Now, I think Spinoza was talking tongue-in-cheek, because I think when believers talk about God, they talk about a being who, having made these laws, can flout them at will.
Exactly. And that's one of those contradictions that I will like to point out to people, or I do point out to people who are very religious, is that if there is a God, then should that God not also be subject to the same rules as he or she himself or herself make? And then you think, well, logically, no. I mean, you know, God can't say, well, I can do this on one day and it's good, and on another day it's bad, it's or evil. So the God isn't exempt from the rules. It's a title. It's of a figurehead of a religious hierarchy. It seems to me that anything can be a God. All it takes is someone to deify it. Right? I mean, that's all God is. It's a deification of something or idea.
Well, wouldn't that statement itself presuppose there is no God in objective reality?
Exactly. It would mean that there may very well be a universe creator, but that doesn't necessarily mean that we should deify it.
Hey, guys, so, we're going to do a break here. And then we'll get back. We have David Halperin, and the primary topic is UFOs in the Bible, about whether the phenomena reported in the Bible was not divine, but something generated perhaps by an intelligent species from where? More to come with David, Gene, and Randall. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Power grid failures and natural disasters. They happen too often now. Will financial collapse be next? What kind of emergency plan do you have for the next sudden food shortage? If you don't, it's time to prepare. At MyPatriotSupply.com, we make it easy for you. Our emergency food storage kits stay fresh for up to 25 years. They ship fast and discreetly to your door. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com to prepare. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
USA Radio News with Dan Naraki.
A new poll shows that confidence in coronavirus vaccines is growing among Americans. The Pew Research poll, released Friday, said that 69% of Americans polled said they had either received at least one shot of COVID vaccine or they intended to when they could. That's up from a November poll where 60% said they had wanted the shot. Dr. Marty McCary is a professor of public health at Johns Hopkins University and tells Fox News that once people see a medication at work, they're more likely to adopt it themselves.
With any new medication, once it's in use, once people are taking it at large, then people feel comfortable. It's really not fair to ask somebody, would you take a vaccine that's not yet been FDA authorized, which is what the surveys were to date. Now the number of people who are absolutely refusing to take the vaccine in surveys is around 13%. So we're doing much, much better.
Dr. McCary also reminds people that it takes up to 4 weeks after vaccination to develop strong protections against the virus. They should still take precautions in that period. This is USA Radio News. An Ohio university has suspended one of its fraternities after an alleged hazing incident left a sophomore pledge hospitalized in critical condition. Bowling Green State University has placed its chapter of Pi Kappa Alpha on suspension after a student was hospitalized in an alcohol-related incident. An attorney for the family of 20-year-old Stone Fultz says he is alive while his family works with doctors to donate his organs, and that the hazing incident involved a large amount of alcohol consumed in a short period of time. The university says it's working with law enforcement to investigate the off-campus incident. In a statement, the national chapter of the fraternity said it had a zero-tolerance policy towards hazing of any kind, saying the incident left officials horrified and outraged. And former President Donald Trump promised to travel to Alaska next year to campaign against Republican Senator Lisa Murkowski as she seeks re-election in 2022. In a statement, Trump called Murkowski a disloyal and very bad senator who does not stand up for Alaska. Murkowski was one of seven Senate Republicans to vote to convict President Trump last month in his second impeachment trial. This is USA Radio News.
If you are trying to quit drinking or doing too many drugs, listen to me. You don't know me and we'll never meet. I had a problem like you once. I drank and used to party a little too much till it got out of control and almost ruined my life. I realized I needed help to fix my problem before it totally destroyed me. If you've tried to fix your drinking and drug problem and you know you can't do it alone, you need to call the National Treatment Advisors. They'll immerse you into a 30-day program to replace your old habits with new habits and totally change your life. And if you have PPO private health insurance, the entire program may be covered. Fix your problem right now before it gets any worse. Get clean. Call now and learn more. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252.
Hey, this is Marie D. Jones, the author of This Book Is From the Future. And you are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Of course, maybe David, I don't know if you're a sci-fi fan, you've mentioned this before, but when I think of the presence of possible alien craft in biblical times, I think of the movie Stargate and the TV show Stargate SG-1. Are you familiar with it?
No. I have to admit I'm not.
Well, the basic movie, which was produced by the same people who brought you Independence Day, where it has James Spader as Dr. Daniel Jackson, who works with finding this giant device in Egypt, which turns out to be a Stargate, a device that can be used to travel through wormholes or something, and that gets murky, from this planet to another star system, and that it was brought here by this ancient race that pretended to be gods to enslave the people of Earth before they had an uprising. It's based on a basic theory of ancient astronauts, and it became very popular on TV. The main series lasted 10 seasons, and then they had another 7 or 8 seasons from different spin-offs. So we're talking about very popular here. And certainly, though, the raw question to ask you here, David, is even if we were visited by extraterrestrials in those days, and maybe we're still being visited or not, that doesn't mean there's no God.
Quite right. Quite right. But surely by explaining the miracles of the Bible, say, as being intervention of extraterrestrials, we undercut any use of the Bible as evidence for God.
Well, I guess I think that depends on how we look at the Bible, though. I mean, this goes back to just before the break where, you know, we were saying, well, how do we define God? And ultimately, whatever definition you want to come up with, it doesn't matter. all that matters is that whatever that definition is that you want to use, whether you have decided to deify it or not. And if you don't, then it becomes something you can look at objectively. So in other words, there very well could be a universe creator that, you know, in some way, shape, or form, from their reference or frame of reference, created the universe and everything else that goes along with it. Some completely, you know, top of the pyramid entity of some kind. But unless we decide, okay, I'm going to worship it, I'm going to make it part of a religious belief system, I'm going to place it at the top of this religious belief system, it has not been deified. And therefore, it is not a god. It is just another entity in the universe, subject to the same rules of logic and critical thinking as the rest of us.
And are we supposing that this entity created the world and that he or she guides it?
Well, we could suppose anything. We could suppose that it happens to be the coffee cup on, you know, that you drink your coffee cup. You want to deify it and put it on the table and say, I'm going to worship it from now on. That's your god. If it happens to be some very powerful being that we have no objective proof for, but you believe that to be the case and you deify that, well, that's your god. And so this whole idea of god comes down to whether or not it has been made into a god by the person's belief system. So we're getting back to driving a flying saucer. Well, certainly, you know, how does, you know, this god, if you've deified this being that is driving this device, then that is your god. I don't see how it ceases to necessarily be a god because, well, in this article, we're talking about Rael, of course. Now, for those who don't know, he's an ex-race car driver who claims to have met a number of religious deities and conversed with alien beings in a UFO in France and created a religion around this. So he has a flying saucer that they appeared in and transmitted all of this information to him, and he's become the leader of this group. So there you go. If people deify that, well, I guess that's your god, right?
Let's take the god driving the flying saucer. Suppose the flying saucer malfunctions. What happens to the god who drives it?
Then you have a god that is fallible and is not necessarily omniscient or omnipowerful. But not all gods are. I mean, in pluralistic religions, there's many different gods with many different powers, some of which can overcome the powers of other gods. So this whole idea of God, it's about people's belief systems. It's not about necessarily what the objective case is.
If God is like that, though, then he becomes, as you suggest, one among a possible pantheon of gods. This is not the way at least monotheists usually envision their deity.
Well, there you just use, you know, you just use the word deity again. Like,
yeah.
Let's take the word deity out of it and substitute it for this isn't the way that monists view the entity that they have placed at the top of their religious hierarchy. Because even in that system, there's a religious hierarchy. There's God, and then below God, there's angels, and below angels, there's prophets, and below prophets, there's popes. And it, you know, it's all pretty obvious to me how it all shakes out. I'm not sure why it's such a big mystery to so many people.
Anytime a more primitive race is visited by a more advanced race, that more advanced race could be perceived as gods. That's not unusual. Again, we're not presupposing there is no God. We're trying to account for a lot of different things and trying to find explanations. They may not be, and part of it may be, and this is another question that David can maybe answer as part of his response to Randall, knowing what of the Bible is an accurate presentation of historical events, how much of it is myths and allegories? David?
I think it includes a great deal of both. I mean, start with the third chapter of Genesis, where Adam and Eve disobey God's command and are thrown out of Eden. To me, that is very clearly a myth. And yet its power is precisely in that it is a myth, and that it conveys all sorts of truths, not about an ancestor of ours who lived several thousand years ago, or two ancestors, a great-great-great-grandfather and a great-great-grandmother who lived thousands of years ago, but understanding about ourselves, about what it means to reach maturity, what role sex plays in that, what role moral discernment plays in that. And the more you read the third chapter of Genesis from that perspective, the more profound and the truer it is. And yet, it is a myth. Adam and Eve never existed. The God who commanded them and then ejected them never existed. And I think it's one of the great goals in reading the Bible to understand the truths that it teaches about us as human beings without denying that it is a myth.
Exactly.
Or that many things in it are myths.
That is exactly what I was getting at with this, is that it's not as important that we see, well, maybe for some people, importance is a subjective thing. But for the sake of our discussion here, it's not necessarily as important that we accept that there is an objective, real entity out there in the universe that carries this title of God. It's that why people give it the title of God that makes it interesting. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly. But I would ask you, Randall, now, once we choose that mode of approaching the scriptures, does that not render all talk about ancient astronauts irrelevant?
We're going to break now. We have David, Gene, and Randall. You're in
the Paracast.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNLive.com today.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there's The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
Are you curious about what might be missing from your diet and supplement choices? Take a free health assessment to identify your possible nutrient deficiencies. As a certified holistic health coach, I will help you assess and prioritize a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Now with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano colloidal silver from AmeriCare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. AmeriCare's nano colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, AmeriCare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nano colloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
The old way of living with diabetes is a pain. You've got to remember to do your testing, and you always need to be sticking your fingers. The new way to live your life with diabetes is with a continuous glucose monitor. You simply apply a discreet, easy-to-use sensor on your body, and it continuously monitors your glucose levels, helping you spend more time in range and freeing you from painful finger pricks. If you test your blood sugar at least 4 times per day and inject insulin at least 3 times per day, or use an insulin pump and have private insurance or Medicare, you might be eligible for a CGM with little or no cost to you. Call U.S. Medical Supply today for a free benefits check. We offer free shipping, 90-day supplies, and we bill Medicare or your insurance directly. Call now and say goodbye to finger pricks.
800-880-1896. 800-880-1896. 800-880-1896. That's 800-880-1896.
Hello, this is John Burroughs, one of the witnesses to the Rendlesham UFO incident. You're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Returning to the end of the previous segment there, where you were asking the question that if we choose to look at the Bible and other religious texts as myth, then it seems to undermine the value of them as historical accounts of alien visitation or ancient astronauts. And I'm not so sure that that's the case. I think that people do have these experiences regardless of what they are, and that because of the extraordinary nature of those experiences and no way for them, the experiencer, that is, to be able to put them into their own, fit them into their own worldview, they became seen as transcendent of that worldview, and that made it very easy for them to deify them.
Okay, now I feel you moving into my position, Randall, that people have transcendent experiences, not that they are contacted by creatures as mortal as ourselves, but from another galaxy, but rather that there's something from within ourselves that we perceive as transcendent, and that we label as God. And so much in the Bible can be understood that way without invoking any physical visitors from outer space or anywhere else.
This is really interesting because on our previous episode, we had Jerome Clark and Timothy Green Beckley on. And we got talking about this, and I prepared a question here, so I'm just going to read it out. It's a little bit lengthy, but it speaks right to the heart of this idea, I believe. And so we're diving in pretty deep here, listeners, with David today. So during an RNS interview with Yonet Shimron titled, why UFOs tell us more about life on Earth than outer space, you're quoted as saying that UFOs are about transcending boundaries. And I find this particularly interesting in the wake of our 15th anniversary interview with Jerome Clark and Timothy Green Beckley, during which time Jerry and I attempted to dig a little deeper into his idea that when we're dealing with the really high strangeness aspects of UFOs, like altered perceptions of time or being floated through walls in a shimmering blue light, that perhaps we're no longer dealing with material craft and entities, but something that he doesn't have an explanation for that transcends the idea of alien visitation. So this idea that there's an aspect to these phenomena, which he sees as real, but not necessarily exclusive to our frame of reality, can be seen as an attitude that fits with the idea of transcending the typical interstellar hypothesis.
Yeah. Yeah. I think where Jerry and I differ is fundamentally that I'm a reductionist and Jerry is not. That both of us will acknowledge transcendent experiences, but I want to reduce them to the psyche of the experiencer, whereas Jerry finds that inadequate. And if Jerry's listening, I hope he will excuse me if I'm saying anything to distort his position.
Oh, yeah. It's a position that's not particularly easy to wrap one's head around is when you're trying to get a clear idea of what Jerry is talking about. But I find his idea really quite interesting with this. And in a way, it fits with your idea as well. It's like you both got a similar approach to this. And when you say, well, you're a reductionist and Jerry isn't, I'm not sure what Jerry would call himself, but the opposite, of course, would be an emergentist. So we've got this idea that from nature will emerge something that is transcendent. And for yourself, you believe it can be reduced down or broken down into elements of our psychological nature. Now, does that include the idea that, well, our psyche and our brain, our personality, are all neuro-based, neurologically based, physically based?
I don't know. In a way, what I am transferring the mystery from the outside to the inside, that there are things going on within us, things that emerge from within us that we experience ourselves as encountering, that are genuinely unknown and unidentified. So when I reduce it to us, I am not saying there is no mystery here. I'm saying if we are to make sense of the mystery, we have to keep our eyes focused within.
What would that place that is within be called? Are you referring to consciousness itself or some aspect of our consciousness? Or can you give us a clearer picture there?
Well, Jung called it the collective unconscious, but I don't think we understand it better when we attach a label to it. All we do is recognize that there is something that is essentially human, but that seems to transcend the individual human. And I mean, we find something of this sort in the UFO, the UFO record continually, where multiple people experience much the same thing, I think very often through unconscious communications of one kind or another, and they experience it as something wholly alien to them.
When we say wholly alien, then we're not talking about alien as in, oh, I just saw an alien like a little gray or something from another planet. We're just using the word in a very general sense there that means something that is beyond their experience.
Something that I perceive as other than my normal conscious self. But I believe that all of us, you and I, are greater than our normal conscious selves.
Let me throw out this, because we're talking about internal experiences. And I've heard several cases of this already. Like, we had a guest on, an abductee named Tom Warner, who, and this is not the only case, met somebody aboard a spaceship during an abduction that he later communicated with after that episode was over. We had another guest, Denise Stoner, who wrote a book with Kathleen Martin, whom I know you are aware of.
Yes.
And in that particular case, Denise met, again, another individual aboard the spaceship during this abduction experience. They exchanged contact information, and after it was over, they got in contact with each other. They had never met prior to that. They weren't aware of each other's existence. How do we explain that?
I don't know, and we would have to explore the relationships of these people. We would have to explore the extent to which their memory functions properly. Would have to explore to what extent they may have unconsciously colluded in creating a memory. These are all possibilities.
Right, but we have a situation here where, taking the facts at face value, you think you're being abducted. You meet somebody, a total stranger, and you say, let's exchange information. And then you get in touch with each other after the experience is over. So the question being here, if those details are accurate, they didn't know each other. There was no way they could have met. But suddenly the experience gives them the information they need to contact one another. How do we figure that out? And again, it's a question of, are the memories accurate? Is it possible they've met each other under different circumstances and simply were not aware of it? I mean, we can have different answers. And David, in our next segment, I'm going to ask you what you might think. This is the thing that, of course, confounds Jerry Clark, too. He's trying to say that abductions are internal experiences, and then we have the X factor. More to come with David, Gene, and Randall. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Hey, listeners. I want you to have the entire Paracast experience, so I'd like to tell you about After the Paracast. After the Paracast is an exclusive feature for subscribers to the Paracast Plus. With After the Paracast, you never know what's going to happen next. After the Paracast features color commentary, special interviews, and further conversations with Paracast guests. With Paracast Plus, you can download a very special enhanced version of the Paracast also. We do offer exclusive music, videos, and more features are coming. To get more info about subscribing, please visit theparacast.plus. Once again, theparacast.plus. Prices are just $1.50 a week, less than a cup of coffee at your local convenience store. Check out theparacast.plus to learn more about Paracast Plus.
Tehebo Tea Club's original Pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea helps build the red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping.
To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. That's shop, S-H-O-P, super, S-U-P-E-R-T-T-E-A.com. So the complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100, Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5 California time. That's shopsupertea.com at 818-984-6100.